This morning's scripture reading is Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not sure because I'm not good at ages, but I think all of us maybe remember the 1970s to one extent or another. I'm not sure. Okay. But if you remember in the 1970s, the tambourine great Linda McCartney, she had a husband named Paul, and they were both musicians. And they came out with a song that went like this. "Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs." Remember that one? "What's wrong with that? Come on, everybody. I'd like to know, because here I go again. I love you." Exactly. And it went on and on and on. And it wasn't a great song, but it was a great song. But it does pose an interesting question. What is wrong with filling the world with silly love songs? Or for one thing, if we do that, that's how we come up with Muskrat Love and Total Eclipse of the Heart. So right there, there's a danger. But an even better reason to be skeptical of these silly love songs filling up the world is that these songs, they can really shape the way we think when we hear that word love. We're on the fourth Sunday of Advent here. We've lit the candle of love. And if we think about love being defined the way it is in some songs and movies and mushy Hallmark cards, well, that's not as realistic as what we've experienced in our lives. And I think about the scripture that the lectionary gives us today on this Love Sunday. I thought, at first, shouldn't our story from scripture be cozier? Shouldn't it just squeeze our hearts and make us feel warm inside? But instead, for years, I did not like this story at all. It had the opposite reaction with me. We had this familiar story of Joseph trying to figure out how to respond to the news that his betrothed is going to have a baby, and he knows it's not his. And for years, I would look at this passage and the part where Joseph planned to dismiss her quietly, I thought, what a jerk. What a coward. The woman you love, she's in a very precarious situation here, and you're going to dismiss her? I don't care how quietly you do it, that's wrong. And then the author of the text says, because he was a righteous man, he dismissed her quietly. Well, the author, his bar for righteousness must be pretty low. Because dismissing someone you love, it just doesn't make much sense. But then I tried so hard to reframe this, to look at it in a different way. I tried to put myself in the position of Joseph. Joseph, a human being just like me and you. And you have your betrothed, Mary. And you're ready to take that next step, the new chapter of your lives together. And you've been faithful to her, and you have every reason to believe that she's been faithful to you. And all of a sudden, she tells you she's having a baby. And then she has this strange explanation for it all. She says that an angel visited with a message. She's not been unfaithful. The child within her is God's child. Not only that, but the Messiah. How would you respond? Why would she make up such a ridiculous story, he might have thought. Was she mocking him? Did she really believe he'd buy into this complex, bizarre lie? But no, Mary does seem to believe this herself. And so is she not only unfaithful, is she ill? Was she hallucinating? Joseph must have been shattered. And he had an excruciating decision to make. What should he do? What could he do? What can any of us do when we have one of these agonizing decisions before us? And then it hit me. Joseph was righteous, and even though his response to dismiss her quietly might seem not the most charitable response, Joseph did the next loving thing that he, as a human being, as a shattered human being, was capable of doing. He did the next loving thing. Because it would have been really easy for him to humiliate her among the whole community. We know what happened to women who were caught in adultery in the time of Jesus. But Joseph didn't do that. He did what to him and for the capacity that he had was the most loving thing. He let love triumph over his fears and his pain, and he did that next thing. And for any of us who have had to do the next loving thing in a piercing situation, we know that is not easy. That is not the stuff of silly love songs. Doing the next loving thing that we're capable of is painful often. Just ask the father who continues to embrace his child and support them through an addiction that's killing them. Just ask the mom who has to go to work every day doing a job that's intent, it seems, on crushing her soul and tearing down her body at the same time. That mom who does that every day just so she can feed her baby. Ask the couple who has to tell their family that their marriage is no longer healthy and it's no longer life-giving and the next loving thing is to divorce. Or the adult daughter who has to sit down with her dad and explain why it's not safe for him to drive anymore. There are so many situations in which there is no jackpot choice. Because whatever choice we make is not going to bring back the past. It's not going to erase the pain or make everything all better. And is those moments when we say, what do I do, O Lord? And the answer is the next loving thing that you can. And that's what Joseph does. Right then, he made a painful choice, but it was the only one that he thought he could do. It was the only one he could do. And look what happened when he took that small step. When he did everything loving that he was capable of doing, it created in him a holy space. And in that space, God was able to move. And Joseph's heart was opened before he thought, all I can do is dismiss her quietly. That's the most loving thing. And because he was willing to stretch and because he was willing to move in love, that space opened. And God said to him, there is an even more loving thing you can do. You can stand beside her. This baby is coming, and this baby is coming and is going to fill you with even more capacity to love. Not just you, but the world. This child, whom you will name Jesus, it's like a life power up in a video game. It's like a bushel of Miracle-Gro in a garden. You ain't seen nothing yet of what you will be capable of. And Joseph heard, and Joseph felt that capacity to love expand within him. And he did the next loving thing, one that wasn't even on his radar before. I can dismiss her. And that was painful, and that was loving. But then he did the next loving thing. And so it is with us, my friends. When we are tempted to surrender to the lesser actions, when we think we lost the ability to love, that the pain is just too much, we can remember that the embodiment of God in a child in Bethlehem is proof that our capacity to do the impossible loving thing is what we must do. And what we can do because of the limitless love of the Christ. Amen.